Yeah, as he said, we played ragball yesterday. It's my first tournament ever not to be injured in, so that was more of a praise than winning, I think. But yeah, Raven came because I'm having some issues figuring out that I'm reaching the new generation of getting old, so my body's falling apart. So not yet, I'm getting there. Two knee surgeries. So I got some quotes that I liked. They say genes skip generations. Maybe that's why grandparents find their grandchildren so likable. Figure I'd like that one, Grandma. But so there was no respect for youth when I was young, and now that I'm old, there's no respect for age. I miss it coming and going. And then this is probably a little relatable to some of y'all's perspective, but my generation is not strong. My grandfather fought in World War II. I had a panic attack during the series finale of Breaking Bad. So by some key measures, Americans ages 18 to 29 are considerably less religious than older Americans. Fewer younger adults belong to any faith than older people do today. They also are less likely to be affiliated than their parents' and grandparents' generation when they were young. Fully, one in four members of the millennial generation, so-called because they were born after 1980 and began to come of our age around the year 2000, are unaffiliated with any particular faith. Indeed, millennials are significantly more affiliated than members of the previous generations. We're at a comparable point in their life cycle and twice as unaffiliated as the generation before that, whereas young adults. Young adults also attend religious services less than older Americans today. And compared with their elders today, fewer young people say that religion is very important in their lives. Yet, in other ways, millennials remain traditional in their religious beliefs and practices. Pew Research Center surveys show, for instance, that young adults' belief about life after death and the existence of heaven, hell, and miracles closely resemble the beliefs of older people today. Though young adults pray less often than their elders today, the number of young adults who say they pray every day rivals the portion of young people who said the same in prior decades. And though belief in God is lower among young adults than among older adults, millennials say they believe in God with absolute certainty at rates similar to those seen among the generation before. This suggests that some of the religious differences between younger and older Americans today are not entirely generational, but result in part from people's tendency to place greater emphasis on religion as they age. A study released this week that showed millennials, those 30 and under, stand out as least likely to value church attendance. Only 2 in 10 believe it's important. And more than one-third of millennial young adults take an anti-church stance. The study overall found that although church involvement was once a cornerstone of American life, U.S. adults today are evenly divided on the importance of attending church. Half say it's important or very important, and the other say it's not too important or not at all important. Well, this shows me at least some people are interested in church and about Jesus. So why don't they come? Do they feel uncomfortable? Do they not care? Are they confused on what to believe? What's the reason? Or is the issue within the church? Are we welcoming to the new generation? Do we give them a funny look, or because they are attracted to a different style of clothing, or their appearance is the way we don't like? Do we even want them here? Do we care if these people come to church, get baptized, and receive the eternal salvation that we are so blessed to receive? Of course we care, but do we want to do what it takes to get them there? Maybe do we think to ourselves, no way they are Christian. I can tell by the lifestyle they don't go to church. Aren't those the ones we want here? The ones outside of Christ, the ones we want to be saved. Having devout Christians is great, but we also need to focus in on those that don't know Him. They need to know what they are missing out on. Whatever the reason is that the new generation is not coming to church, doesn't matter. We must make sure we are doing the right things to attract them here. and a huge part of welcoming the new generation, which is the body of Christ, this church, is accepting them as they are. I'm not saying by any means to accept their sin. I'm not saying to tell them their sin is okay. Although we must accept that they are outside of Christ and they are not living by what the Bible says. We pray for the lost every day, all the time. So we must want them here because we're praying to God for the lost to come here. He's going to send them here. We got to do what we need to do when they get here. This is the place they can find Jesus and what must do what a Christian does, and that accepts them as they are, and do all we can to win those to Christ. As Romans 15, 5 through 7 states, "Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore accept one another just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God." How were we like before finding Jesus? Like, honestly, like, I don't even want to remember what I was like, but even, I know most of y'all probably know, don't remind me. But even after we found Jesus, we still make mistakes. I mean, like every day, I really don't want to remember what I did yesterday. But Jesus accepted us as we are. He led us to Him, and that's what we must do to others, especially the new generation. As Christians, we model Jesus, and if we are modeling Jesus, then we must do as He says in John 6:37, which states, "All those the Father give me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." We must model this and not drive away someone by their appearance, attitude, lifestyle, or any baggage they come here with. Instead, we must help them grow so they may also receive the eternal salvation that we are blessed beyond belief to receive. Once we accept them as they are, we must involve them. To involve and attract the next generation, we must adapt to things they like, things that will want them to come here. When I was younger, my friends used to come with me by doing activities at church they enjoyed. They weren't coming for reasons, the right reason at the time, but they were coming for reasons such as activities or events. But this is a start. They at least heard the word of God while they were here. Let's get them here. Then they can grow to their reasoning for coming is to focus on Jesus over time. Transform them from somewhere where they must go to or are attracted to the other things to somewhere they want to be here for God. Involving and attracting them is going to involve that word that makes most of us uncomfortable, and it's one that makes me uncomfortable as well, and that's change. I know, going from high school to college where I'm working and going to college, I mean, that's a little rough. I didn't like it at first, but I understand that I'm doing the thing that we're all here to do, that's to glorify God. So because the new generation is constantly changing, which means new people are attracted to different things, which means we must be constantly be changing. A professor told me one time, I don't know how you're going to take this, but he said, if we do not hurt someone's feelings, we didn't change enough. I mean, that's a weird perspective, but he's got a point. He's like, that's perspective that is interesting to me. Honestly, not everyone's going to agree on every single thing that we change to, which is why you must remember why we're doing this, and that is to build the kingdom of God. There seems to always be a guarantee in life that change will happen, like it's going to happen. Change is something we tend to fear and become anxious about because we do not feel in control of life. But who is in control? Our Lord and Savior. The good news is what God has a plan for your life, to hope your future and to prosper it. If we trust in God and allow the change to grow us to become more like Jesus Christ and how we respond and act, then we are promised that all things will work together for good, those who love Him and keep His commandments. We must change the things that all attract this generation. I'm not saying change our theology or anything like that, but we need to do some things that will lead these people to church and Jesus, which we pray for them to come here. In Ecclesiastes 3:1 states, "There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. There's a time for everything. This includes changing, which we just remember that Jesus Christ does not change, as Hebrews 13:8 states. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ is why we do what we do, and that is to lead everyone to Him. Therefore, involve these people, adapt to things that will attract the next generation here, and lastly, build a relationship with them. That's really a lot of what this new generation wants. That's really just the basis of youth ministry, is to build a relationship with people. They just want to know that you care about them. A simple hello means the world to them. They're like, wow, I didn't even know they could care to even stop and say hey to me. I had a friend. He was going through some issues, which I had no idea at the time. I felt the urge to see. I had no idea why. See what's going on in his life. I said, hey, man, you want to go get some food? That probably doesn't surprise y'all. Of course, y'all know I like to eat. My bank account knows, too. But anyway, me and my friend went to eat. We had casual conversation, and I had no idea why I even asked him to go eat. A few months later, we went to eat again. He said, hey, man, if you wouldn't have asked me to hang out that night, I would have killed myself. He said he had the gun on his bed and ready to do it. But I texted him, and he said he felt that no one cared, but he found out that I did. And so a few months later, I figured out why I decided to text him. God had his timing for everything, just as we read in Ecclesiastes 3:1. God had his timing, and all it took was a simple text in the end to save someone's life. This generation just wants to know that someone cares. Also, if people know you care, they will have respect and much more interest into what we have to say. We are a family here. We want people to realize they want to join this family. We want people to come in and say, wow, that's something I want to be a part of. We want them to look at us and see a family, because that's what we are. We're the family of God. So, the church attendance around the world is noticeably decreasing. And we have the chance to do something about it. Take that step, then make the decision to change the way you think about people, the way we look at non-Christians, and the way to get people to come to Christ. Make that decision to be more accepting. Involve more people in your spiritual life and build relationships with as many people as possible. Or maybe you haven't even made that decision to accept Jesus yourself. Maybe you were one of the people we were talking about we want to attract, and we would be more than willing to have you in our family. As we sing our invitation, make that decision. It could be to be baptized, or it may just be a personal decision that you make at your seat. Whatever it is, make it today as we sing. Please stand.